Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show, hosted by author, investor, money partner, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, this is Bruce Norris. Thanks for joining us. This week, we're joined by Steve Silva. Steve owns Market Point Realty, a company that specializes in listing REOs. And Steve's also an investor and one of the truly most honest business guys I know. Steve, thank you very much for taking time to talk with us today.
My pleasure, Bruce.
About a year ago, if someone suggested you could make a living selling bank-owned properties, they would have laughed at you. How have things changed in the past 12 months?
Well, from having about 10 listings 12 months ago, I have well over 100 right now.
Wow, that's grown an awful lot in just the last time I talked with you, as a matter of fact.
Right.
Okay. How is that different from the last time? In the 90s, I don't think it built that quickly. Was that correct?
Oh, that's absolutely correct. This time around, Bruce, the properties are coming at us at an extremely high pace. I mean, just one right after another. Over the weekend, I received last Friday and Saturday, I received requests to do over 72 brokers' price opinions for banks.
72?
72. Well, I went on the internet. I declined them all because we're so busy. But these are institutions that are requesting that I give them a value so they know, you know, how to proceed on they're either in foreclosure or close to foreclosure.
Okay, so this is sort of a pre-event, we have an REO listing for you. This is just, can you give us a price so we know where we're headed?
Right, exactly.
Now, are they doing this because they want to work out something with the owner, or they're just projecting maybe losses?
Well, I think they're doing both. They're trying to work out something with the owners, but we have someone here in our office that does do workouts with the banks.
Okay.
It doesn't happen.
Now, what's standing in the way of that? Because I agree with you. The numbers of foreclosures are so unbelievable that obviously it isn't working. But what's the problem?
As far as what?
Well, just the workout. In other words, let's say you have a bank that, at least on the surface, appears to be willing. Where does the borrower mess up the process, or is the lender really not?
The borrower's usually waited a little bit too long. Their credit is a little muddy now, and they just—it just seems like the borrower and the lender can't get together.
Okay.
To make it work.
Are they? Is the borrower able to talk to a decision maker at least, or is it a chain that they're talking to first line?
It's a chain.
Okay. Well, that's they might as well be an REO agent, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we've finally convinced the agent here in the office who thought she was going to get some listings out of this and maybe some sales and, you know, maybe some fees. It just never happened. She was this particular agent that was working for these several institutions and trying to do these workouts.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't even close to making a living.
I see.
Yeah.
The inventory this time, is it different in type at all? Than the 90s? It's my perception that the inventory is newer, bigger. I don't know about the condition so much, but it seems to be a much nicer brand of inventory and much larger homes.
Well, when I was doing this in the 90s, I was getting really low-end stuff in the 90s. We're talking about, you know, things that were, if it was the early 90s, these were things that were built in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s.
Correct.
Now, everything is, oh, so many of these houses are 10 years old.
Yeah, two-story, two and three, 4,000.
Yeah, in tracks, tracks that are just a few, some of them, a lot of them are in just new tracks that are just a few years old.
What areas do you cover?
Well, all of the Inland Empire.
Okay. Yeah, I would imagine that's going to keep you busy, actually.
Yeah, there's a lot of tracks out there that are still that are just standing, right now.
Tracts of
new homes, that are just standing.
What's interesting, just talked with your son Chris, and he said one of the builders just decided pretty much stucco things and wrap them up and wait till the market
changed.
Came back.
Yeah.
I think they're being told something that isn't true if they think that's a wise decision. This market is not going to come back soon.
So. No, I don't think it's going to come back anywhere where it was for several years.
Right. And I don't know how you have a vacant property, because, I mean, that was one of the things that happened last time to builders, is they'd have a tract that wouldn't sell, and they were done, but then all of a sudden they got picked apart, so the copper was missing and all kinds of other things. So I don't understand.
Exactly. It's too expensive to hold a product like that. They depreciate, and they'll continue to depreciate for the next couple of years, just in value, but then age helps make it depreciate.
Well,
also,
insurance, taxes, damage. I mean, that's just
right. If I was a stockholder of that corporation that owned that tract, I think I'd be a little bit upset.
Yeah. Well, you know, usually they're taking advice of somebody, so somebody must be telling them next year is going to be maybe a lot brighter than this year. I'm not sure where they get that, but
I have no clue. I know that I'll be busy in the REO market, but I don't know. And you know, next year, I think for me will be a better year, but I don't know about for the average agent that's just out there doing retail properties.
Oh, no, it'll be much tougher than 07, actually. Does being an REO agent require that you have staff? And if so, what do they do for you in the process?
Well, we have people that go out and do the broker's price opinion, which is basically an appraisal of the property.
Okay.
We have to go out also out and check on the condition and recommend whether it be rehabbed or not. Most of the banks are not rehabbing anything right now except trashing them out.
Okay.
So we have to estimate cost to rehab. We have to have that kind of knowledge. A lot of the banks, even though they're not going to fix them, they want a couple of bids from contractors on them. And then we have to turn on the utilities and manage the property on a weekly basis.
If that property ultimately doesn't sell, how much are you compensated for doing all those steps?
If it doesn't sell?
Yeah. Could you just spend?
I'm compensated nothing other than my expenses for utilities and lawn care. That's it.
Okay.
They don't pay me any fees to manage the property.
That's a lot of work.
Oh, it's a lot of work. Other than if we sell the property, then we get somewhere between 2 and 2.5%.
Okay. We met in the mid-90s. You had an REO listing. I made an offer on it, and the offer was a lot lower than the asking price. But I recall substantiating the offer with comparable sales that you didn't have access to.
Exactly.
Here's my question. Would that offer likely be accepted the way things work today?
No, not at this point.
Okay. That's a good – I like that comment. The system they set in place – let's talk about the process that you go through as an REO agent after the lender tells you the listing is yours. So you do all on-site inspections and so forth. Are you the only one that does a broker price opinion, and do they take your idea of what the property is worth and let you control that number?
They farm out two other price opinions to two other brokers or agents and an appraiser.
So they actually have three BPOs and an appraisal.
And an appraisal.
Okay.
What I'm finding is we're getting appraisers from out of the area. We're getting a lot of Orange County appraisers that don't know our market and are coming in with higher values, are not adjusting for time, not adjusting for the market. And then we're finding a lot of agents that have never been in this market before. They're fairly new. They've never dealt with REOs, and they're coming in with higher values than we are.
Now, when they come in at higher values, is it because they're looking at comps and ignoring listings? Is that pretty much what's going on?
Yeah, they're looking at comparable sales.
Okay.
And not what the actual competition is.
Right. In the real world that you're in, how different is that price? Let's say we had a three-month-old comp for a property in Moreno Valley, and now you have a request by a lender to list a property What might that price difference be in percentage, let's say, of what you are now having to contend with when you're trying to sell it?
Well, it depends what type of property it is, of course.
Yeah, okay, but yeah, pick a type and then give me a...
Well, yeah, let's take a $350,000 house that sold 3 months ago for $350,000.
Okay.
Today, it could be worth 3 months, possibly $299,000 the way the market is going down in Moreno Valley. Or more.
Yeah. Well,
because there's more inventory. I have streets where I've done where I have properties listed where more than half of the street is vacant or boarded up in nice neighborhoods.
Wow. Are those REOs to be? Is that a,
some of them are REOs to be. Some some of them are REOs. Some of them I don't know what they are because people just walked off.
Okay. Are most of these, do you think, owner-occupied, or do you think a large percentage might have been investor purchases? Just curious.
I would say about 30% of the stuff that I've had so far, or 25%, has been investor.
Okay.
They've rented it out, and it's gone to sale, and they continue to rent it out, and they continue to collect the rent until we do an eviction.
Okay.
Or until I can convince the occupant of the house to stop paying rent.
Okay. How often is the property occupied versus vacant when you get control of it?
35% of the time, I would say.
Okay. And cash for keys, where you're being able to offer money for people to move peaceably, is that working? Is that common?
It's working for me because I approach things a little bit differently than some people do. I take the time and sit down and try to work it out with them. I know other agents that just won't take the time, and they'll just wait the 90 days at least to get the people out. But I've been very successful in offering cash for keys.
Yeah, it would seem like a smart move on the lender's part too, if you're having prices decline that much.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, once I explain to the lender what's going on in the neighborhood, in the area, that it would behoove them to actually give them, let's say, $1,500 or $2,000 for these people to move in 30 days, and let them know that rents are still very, very, very high, and they have to put first and last months down and the deposit, that $2,000 won't even cover it nowadays. So, yeah, you know, I try to motivate the bank also.
Correct. You're working on behalf of, you know, what's interesting is that I know that sometimes what you're offering, the bank probably would have rather it be less, but if it accomplishes what you really need done, the bank is a winner.
Right. Well, what I do is, the bank tells me to start out at a certain price, and I do.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sit down and we do the numbers, and the the occupant says, I can't move with that kind of money. It's better for me to stay here and not pay anything until they kick me out. And, there's a lot of sense there, if he's trying to save money.
Sure, he's got to save up for the same thing you're about to give him.
Right.
So that makes sense.
So we go back and forth and back and forth, and usually everybody's happy at the end.
There's an interesting property. I'm a property buyer. You have REO listings. As of yet, we haven't put anything together other than one accidentally that we happened to buy at the auction. And I think if we go through the process that you had when you had the listing and so forth, and then me being a successful bidder, will expose the flaws in what's going on in the process. The particular property is in Moreno Valley on Arroyo Park. What was the original listing price that was put on that property, if you recall?
Basically $375,000.
Okay, and that was determined by.
That was determined by us here at, that was determined by the bank.
Okay, you had suggested another number?
I had suggested $334,000.
Okay. Had they taken your suggestion, that was probably what's known as a quick sale price, is that
mm-hmm.
correct?
And as is quick sale price.
Okay, and that probably would have marketed, would have sold?
Would have sold back in the beginning of May at $334,000.
Okay.
Absolutely, because I had people calling and wanting to make offers.
Okay. So 334 would have been the number. Now we'll take an interesting journey of what occurred on that property. By the way, were you the only agent that had that listed, or did it get transferred to you from other people?
I was the only agent that had that listed. They gave that to me back in December of 06, and it was occupied.
Wow.
And it wasn't until April that the gentleman moved.
Okay, so that tied up a long time.
Right.
Almost 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Were there price reductions along the way from that starting 375? Were there times that you had the prices reduced?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I would recommend, for instance, back in June, I think it was, I recommended 300. I went down $10,000 from 334 to 324,000.
Right.
And they came down to 354,000.
Okay. So they are always chasing it, never getting in front of the market.
Absolutely.
Okay. Is that common?
And it's common with all the banks I deal with right now.
Okay. Were there ever any offers on the property?
Oh, I had three or four offers on the property, and they kept turning them down.
What was the highest offer, let's say, that you had?
Oh, you know, well, that I don't have in front of
no
me.
No problem.
But
obviously, it was less than 354, but it was probably maybe in the range you told them it would sell at anyway.
Yeah, and sometimes they wouldn't budge but $5,000 off their list price.
Is there an automated process that kicks in when an offer comes in to where, okay, no matter what it is, it's going to be countered and it's going to be a certain percentage?
It doesn't matter what you offer on these bank properties of mine right now, they seem to always counter.
That would seem a little frustrating to me.
Oh, well, it is. It's a lot of work on our part.
I would think so. Okay, we buy this property at the auction for $190,000. And then the lender approved it. Does it surprise you that the lender approved the sale?
Well, yeah, it does.
Doesn't sound like you knew the number.
Well, I'm telling you, it's so frustrating. So you're telling me that you bought it at the auction for $199,000, and I can tell you for a fact that they probably turned down $360,000 back in May or June.
That's a good plan. I like that plan. That if you multiply that times the number of REOs they have, that's a big problem.
Yeah.
Had I written a $190,000 offer when you had the listing, what were the chances of it ever being accepted?
Never.
Never.
Zero.
Okay. Not even a remote counter.
Not even just we do everything online now, and I would have had a big reject come over.
Reject.
Yeah.
And maybe some expletives if there was room for it. Huh?
Well, you know, it's so impersonal now, and there's no emotion. Well, there never has been emotion with these banks, but they just reject them, and they just go on. They are so buried with inventory, they don't know what they did 10 minutes ago, the asset managers.
Well, they haven't seen anything yet, unfortunately.
Yeah.
The numbers next year, I pulled up, I did a little some projections, as you know, I kind of like to do. Mm-hmm. In September, there were 1,936 total sales in Riverside County. There were over 3,000 NODs filed the same month. You have way more NODs being filed than you have sales per month now. And those are going to translate next year into, if you kept that same pace of sales of about 2,000, almost 1,550 of them would be potentially REO sales. They would literally be 80% of the market. We've never had anything remotely close to that percentage.
No.
So that's what's coming next year. So what's interesting, the process, when you have a listing that doesn't sell, Do they keep working with you, or do they send it over to another agent who they think is going to do some magic that you can't do?
The only time was this particular auction that you bought this property at that they switched it over to another company to sell, which was the auction. I have not yet had a property taken away from me since they started feeding me inventory back in December.
Which is, I think, unusual, isn't it?
It is unusual because I know of other agents that they've taken properties away. In fact, I've received properties from other agents.
Now, what's interesting, you would think that you would be part of the process. You had, how many houses did you have that went through the auction recently?
17.
You had 17. Did you have 17 discussions about which properties to that would be the logical candidates?
No.
So they just arbitrarily
They arbitrarily probably took my oldest inventory.
Right.
And put it in the auction.
Okay. And when my offer came in at the 190, was there a discussion about, Steve, you think you can do better, or?
No. They didn't ask us at all.
Okay. So you just sort of get informed one way or the other.
Yes. In fact, I didn't even go to the auction myself. Some of my people here went. And nothing was ever discussed with us. You know, what do you think? Do you think you can market it for more money? But the auction's not going to do that, because if the auction doesn't sell anything, they're not going to make any money.
Oh, of course not. No, but the lender, it's interesting that they really have cut off their best source of information, a reliable local agent.
Exactly.
And now they're coming to a decision. And I'm very happy to have bought the house for 190, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, because I now have to market along with everything else.
Right.
But I think I can price it well enough. But looking at the lender's hit on that property, that's substantial when you deal with many thousands of them that they are going to get back.
Right.
So if you could change one thing in the system, what would it be? Where you'd go, you know what, guys? If I was a lender, I would be doing this differently.
I'd start hiring people to do price opinions that are knowledgeable, and appraisers that are knowledgeable. If they looked at their price opinions from, let's say, 6 months ago from the new agents that have never been through this before, and they look at who the appraisal companies they're using and what's selling and what isn't selling, they'll find that the price opinions and the appraisals that came together closely
mm-hmm.
sold. I'm looking at my sales board right now, and there's a particular company out of Orange County that did not appraise any one of these sold properties that I have on my sales board right now.
Right.
It was done by an experienced appraisal company that dealt with REOs in the 90s.
Steve, we're down to about a minute and a half. Looking from the outside, being an REO agent seems to be where all the action is. What would surprise people once they became an REO agent that they may not know now?
It's about 12 hours a day, 6.5 days a week, and several tens of thousands of dollars out of your pocket all the time to pay for bills. And it's very frustrating because you're going to be dealing with a lot of inventory that you have to report on, sometimes every other week, sometimes monthly. So it's intensive work, very, very intensive work.
Just a very large...
Time-consuming.
Very large volume, too.
Right.
Okay. Do you get to talk to the decision-maker very often?
No.
Okay. So it's just a process that you're being forced to follow.
Right, at this time.
Okay. Sales, what percentage of them actually close? Are people having trouble getting to the finish line with loans?
Well, we changed our format here on qualifying people, so we're closing about 90% of our sales right now.
Oh, that's great.
But 6 months ago, we were closing about 50% of them.
Okay, so you really are staying up on the policies of the lender, so you know.
Yeah, we try to get them pre-qualified by a direct large lender.
Okay. Well, Steve, we're out of time. Thank you very much. Hopefully we've done a service for people that are going to attempt to be REO agents and investors that hope to buy them. We appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you, Steve.
All right.
You've been listening to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com or email questions and or comments to radio@thenorrisgroup.com. We'll see you next week here on News Talk 590 KTIE.